My heart leaped when he said that we'll leave it till the end. That means I have another 5-6 minutes of preaching time I can squeeze in before the end of service. I'll try to get you guys out on time. To be a church of all nations, transformed through faith and love in Christ. Say it with me. To be a church of all nations, transformed through faith and love in Christ. A few weeks ago, we focused on the first part of our vision, to be a church of all nations. The Lord said in Isaiah 56, "For my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations." And then Jesus himself said in the Great Commission, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations." A week later after that, we looked at the second part of our vision, transformed through faith and love in Christ. We saw how this statement had always been part of the name of our church from the very beginning. As can be seen in the initials of our church, you know, FLC, faith and love in Christ. You see, our vision already had its root in our church name 25 years ago. The Apostle Paul said this in Galatians 5. He said, "For through the Spirit we eagerly await by faith the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love." So it's not just simply a matter of external compliance. Circumcision or no circumcision, obeying the law or not obeying the law. In essence, Paul is saying that out of the 66 books of the Bible, out of the 1,189 chapters in the Bible, out of the over 31,000 verses in the Bible, it all amounts to this. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You see, if we're not expressing our faith in God, through our love for others, then nothing we do matters. Nothing we do matters. Just think about that. I've been pondering on this thought for the last few weeks now. But how can this happen? How does this happen? How can we be a church of all nations? How can we be transformed through faith and love in Christ? How can our faith express itself through love? You may say, "We want to do this, Pastor Abe, but it seems so unreachable. We're not a church of all nations at the moment. I don't even think I hang around with anyone but Chinese." I think I was in that situation a few years ago. And then I got involved in our strata council, and I started to get to know the people that were in our townhouse complex. And some of them are my friends now. People of different nations. So it's not very hard to do. It takes something simple like that to do that. But then you may say, "But it's so hard. It's so hard to express our faith through love. It's really hard." You know, I understand. I understand. But the key word here is the word transformed. I was only going to preach two messages on the vision of our church. To be a church of all nations, message one, transformed through faith, faith expressing itself through love, message two. But then as I was wrestling with it, I go, you know what? Something is missing. Something is missing in order for us to actually live out this vision. We can only do this when we've been transformed Transformed by what? Transformed by who? Transformed by the Holy Spirit. You see, our vision statement is actually saying to be a church of all nations transformed by the Holy Spirit through faith and love in Christ. But how is it that we're to be transformed? How can we be transformed? Well, first, by grasping the enormity of Christ's love. And we just read this passage. I'll read it to you again. The Apostle Paul prays this for believers everywhere. He says, I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. You see, Paul wanted all of God's people to live in that envelope, to live in that envelope of a full and complete acceptance and love, God's love. He wanted their lives to be permeated by a perpetual awareness of God's love. He yearned that each believer would have an all-encompassing, an intellectual and emotional and experiential transforming encounter with the love of Jesus Christ. You know, when we know of a person's love for us, everything changes, doesn't it? Everything changes. When we're on holidays with our son, when our son was younger anyways at least, and he's able to see our love for him every day because we're together with him 24/7, and he sees our love for him every day in every way, his whole demeanor changes. He knows that he is loved, and he's able to live life from the knowledge of that love. When we know of the all-encompassing love of Christ, everything changes. When we're rooted and established and loved in God's love, we can then give and show love to other people. Paul himself experienced this amazing grace, this deep love of Christ in his own life. And so he prays that we would experience Christ's love in all its full dimension, that we will understand how wide it is. It stretches across the entire world. How long it is from the moment that we receive Christ until we die and into eternity. How deep it is. God's love reaches down to us in our deepest pit of life. And then how high it is. God's love lifts us up to the highest place into a relationship with God the Father. When we're on vacation just recently, we're taking a cruise to Hawaii, and we left from Vancouver, and we sailed across the Pacific Ocean for 5.5 days getting to Hawaii, and then 5.5 days coming back from Hawaii. This is what we saw. Nothing but ocean. Nothing but sea. Nothing but water all around us. You know, day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six. When I say day six, I mean on the way back, okay? Day six, day seven, day eight, day nine, day 10, day 11. And then when we're halfway through the cruise, and about day six, this is what we saw. Just on the far right there, we saw what we thought was, could it be? Could it really be? Was there really some land there? And we were just so excited, we saw land. We couldn't wait to get off the boat. and have our papaya. Look how happy Deb was, huh? And then as we were just walking along the islands of Hawaii, I looked back out at our boat. I looked at it in the distance. And I saw the expanse of water that was surrounding the boat. And as we were heading back to the boat on tender, one of our last days before we came back to Vancouver, I even felt the enormity of the water around us because we were then closer to the water. It was then that I felt the voice of God saying to me, "Do you see the expanse of the Pacific Ocean surrounding you? How it's enveloping you? How wide and long and high and deep it is? Well, that's my unending love for you. That's my all-encompassing love for you. I want you to know this. I want you to feel this. I want you to experience this." For another 5.5 days going back to Vancouver, I felt God saying to me, "I want you to remember this image clear in your mind, this picture, and grasp just how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. My all-encompassing love for you and for all my creation." Well, that's why Paul in this passage goes on to pray this in verse 19. He says, "And to know this love that surpasses knowledge." In other words, it isn't something that you can understand purely intellectually. It's something that we need to experience in our hearts. There's a story that's told in Alpha of this couple who all the way through their marriage, they just argued. They just argued about everything. There was nothing that they could agree on. They just argued and argued and argued. And to everyone's amazement, they reached their 50th wedding anniversary. And their adult children, they said to one another, "What on earth are we going to get our parents as a golden anniversary present?" And so they decided to have a meeting. They met together and they decided that the best thing that they could give would be a visit to the country's best and most renowned consultant psychiatrist. So they arranged and they paid for it all expenses paid. And they gave it to them as a present. While this couple, they couldn't agree about whether to accept the present or not. They argued about that. They argued about how to get there, when to go. They argued on the way. And when they were still arguing, when they walked into the room, the consultant asked them a question, and they just argued. He asked them another question, and they just argued. And then finally he said, "Okay, look, stop." Then he said, "I'm going to do something that I've never done before in my entire life." And so he got around from behind his desk. He came up to the front. He looked the little old lady into the eye. He held her in her arms, and he kissed her on the lips for a very long time. And then he said to the man, "Now, that is what this woman needs 3 times a week. The little old man just scratched his head. And he said, "Okay, doctor, if that's what you say, I'll bring her in Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays." And what the consultant was saying is that she needs to experience love. We all need to experience love. And the deepest experience of love that we can ever have is the love of God. The love of God being poured into our lives by the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. How can we be transformed? By grasping the enormity of Christ's love. Secondly, by being filled with the Holy Spirit. Paul says in Ephesians 5, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Christ's command through the Apostle Paul is for us to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be continually filled. It isn't just a once-in-a-lifetime moment, but it's a continual filling, a continual prayer that we pray, a continual asking of the Lord. We need to ask God to fill us for the moment, to fill us for this hour, to fill us for the challenges that we will face ahead. You know, every Christian has the Holy Spirit living within them. The Bible refers to this as the indwelling of the Spirit. But not every Christian is filled with the Holy Spirit. And so what's the difference between a Christian who's not very full of the Spirit and one who is full of the Spirit? Well, Billy Graham in his book, and I referenced that in your notes, Billy Graham in his book, The Holy Spirit, says this: when we are filled with the Spirit, it is not a question of there being more of Him, as though His work in us is quantitative. It's not how much of the Spirit we have, but how much of the Spirit has of us. He is in us in all His fullness, whether we see this exhibited in our lives or not. When we receive Christ as Savior and Lord, you and I receive Him in full, not just in part. Then, as we come to understand more and more of Christ's lordship, we surrender and we yield more and more. So seeking the fullness of the Spirit, we receive and enjoy His filling and His fullness more and more. We allow the Holy Spirit to be the dominating influence in our lives. And we allow the continuing transforming work of God to take place in our lives, so that the presence of God empowers us and shapes our lives. You see, spiritual empowered living is about radical surrender. It's about radical surrender. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, as we continue to surrender, to yield, to lay down our lives, the lordship of our lives to Jesus Christ, let us ask God for His fresh outpouring. Let us ask God for His anointing upon us. Let us ask God for the fullness of the Spirit. Let us ask for a fresh wind and a fresh fire of the Spirit to fall upon us, to fall upon our church. I told you last week that I came back from the General Assembly in Calgary. And as I came back from this Christian and Missionary Alliance National Conference that was held in Calgary last week, I'm even more encouraged and excited about our church vision statement at Fraserlands here. Because the continued call by our president, Dave Hearn, the continued direction for our denomination is to reach the nations for Christ. And there are over 900 pastors, international workers, and lay leaders at this conference. And their desire was to be transformed by the Holy Spirit, to allow our hearts to change, to allow our hearts to be changed. For myself, I really felt that God was saying to me that he needed to take away my hardened heart. He needed to take away my hardened heart and to enlarge my heart for people. To enlarge my heart for people. And this verse came to mind in Ezekiel, which I then read while I was at the conference. The Lord said through the prophet Ezekiel, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and to be careful to keep my laws. And so while I was there, I prayed this prayer. I said, Lord, enlarge my heart and enlarge our hearts. Enlarge our hearts for people. Enlarge our hearts for all people, for people of all nations. That every tribe, every people, every language would have the opportunity to receive and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, spiritual renewal precedes all of our efforts to reach the nations. Spiritual renewal precedes all our efforts to reach the nations. And so it was quite the scene, actually, at the conference at General Assembly last week. Imagine a room full of pastors and international workers and lay leaders throughout our country celebrating and clapping and worshiping the Lord with all their hearts, some jumping up and down, singing, shouting, burn! It was kind of strange, but supernatural at the same time. How many middle-aged pastors would jump up and down, besides Pastor Larry, and shout, burn! Burn, Lord, burn! In a church. We weren't asking the Lord to burn the church down. We're shouting, burn, because we're asking the Holy Spirit for the sake of the world to burn a fire in us so that we would no longer be the same, that we would no longer be complacent and comfortable. Do you remember some of the sharings that our young people shared before they left on their missions trip, before we commissioned them? I was so encouraged. I was so encouraged by them. That they wanted to get out of their comfort zone, to let the Lord stretch them, grow them, enlarge them, encompass them with his love, and then to share it with others. I was so encouraged. Are you hungry for God? Are you hungry for God? Are you thirsty for God? Are you thirsty and hungry for the Spirit of the living God to awaken you, to arise in you, to give you life, to give you breath, to take away your heart of stone, and to give you a heart of flesh? Put a new spirit into you. Do you feel dry today? Do you feel stale? Do you feel indifferent? Does anything move you anymore? Or do you feel crusty and hard? Bitter and angry, tired, maybe lifeless inside your soul. That's okay. I feel like that sometimes. dear brothers and sisters in Christ, may we not be people of pride. May we not be people of prejudice. May we not be people of programs. But may we be people of the presence. People of the presence and the power of God. Oh Lord, we need your presence. How can we be transformed? By grasping the enormity of Christ's love. By being filled with the Holy Spirit. And then thirdly, by asking. Simply, by asking. Jesus said in Luke chapter 11, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" You see, children have no problem asking, do they? They ask all the time. We need to approach God like little children. At the conference that I was at, an example was given, and I want to share this example with you. An example was given of a well-known speaker, a well-known pastor, actually, who whenever he gives a lecture. Actually, I forgot to bring something. I'm sorry. Let me just go get it. So whenever he gives a lecture, and he does this at a seminary, to a class of seminary students, he would pull out a $20 bill. And he would hand it to one of the students. And he would always hand this to the oldest person in the class. In this case, in this particular case, a 68-year-old man. And he said, walked over to the man, and the man leaned back and crossed his arms, signaling he didn't want it. But upon further insistence, the man reluctantly took the $20 bill and placed it beside him, something like this. He would take the $20 bill like this, and he would just, like holding a three-day-old mouse, and put it next to him. Not in his pocket, he put it next to him. Because he wanted to make it crystal clear to everyone that he didn't really want it. He didn't really need it. And he mentioned that he would give it back to him at the end of class several times. Or he would do something noble with it, like give it to charity or something. But he wasn't about to keep it. Because it was beyond him, it was beneath him to take $20 from anyone. Now, this same exercise, the speaker told us, whenever it was done in a class of adults, despite location, despite geography, despite culture and nation and whatever, would end up the same way each and every time, with people being suspicious and not wanting to take it. But, he said, it was conducted in a setting with children in the class. You know where I'm going with this, right? If it was conducted with children in the class, and whenever the $20 was waved in the air like this, every kid in the class would say, "Me, me, me, give it to me, give it to me, give it to me." And the hands would go up. And the kids would be jumping up and down trying to get it. And it was finally passed to one kid. He would quickly shove it into his pocket as deep as he could. And hope that at the end of class, his parents won't ask him to give it back. For he knew he received something valuable. When Jesus wanted to bless the children, he said, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." Truly I tell you, Jesus said, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. Unless you come to me like a little child, you have no part in my kingdom, Jesus said. How does a child receive a gift? With openness. With openness. With honesty, with unbridled joy. We need to approach God like little children and ask of the Lord. For Jesus said, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Ask me. The Lord said, ask me, and I will fill you to overflowing. In Zechariah, chapter 4, verse 6, Scripture says this. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. For it is not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. At this time, I want to declare this sanctuary. I want to declare the front of the sanctuary a safe place. I want to declare the front of the sanctuary and the aisles a safe place, a sacred place, a sanctified place. For you to come, for you to come and to ask of the Lord. So come. Come with open hands. Come with open hearts to receive from the Lord. Brothers and sisters, come and ask. As we sing these next couple songs, come. Come and ask. Come and pray. Come, Holy Spirit.